Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. Recently, I got a call from John Doe, telling me about the IRA he had inherited from his mother. The story he told illustrated just about every mistake you could make with an inherited IRA. By my count, there's 8 separate mistakes. I'll tell you the story the way I heard it, then we'll go back over it together and see how many of the 8 mistakes you identified. John said that his mother was 79 years old when she died in 2003, leaving her $80,000 IRA to him as designated beneficiary. He was then age 54. His mother's IRA was held at Bank A, so John met with someone from Bank A. The Bank A employee told John that the tax law required him, as a non-spouse beneficiary, to withdraw all the money from his deceased mother's IRA within 5 years. At John's request, also in 2003, Bank A transferred $64,000 from the account to a new inherited IRA in John's mother's name at Mutual Fund B. John had actually requested that they transfer the entire account to this inherited IRA at Mutual Fund B, but Bank A only sent $64,000 over to Mutual Fund B, and they sent the other $16,000 in the account to the IRS as withheld income taxes. Bank A reported this transaction to the IRS in 2003 as a total distribution of $80,000. John did not report any income from this transaction on his 2003 tax return because Bank A checked the box on Form 1099 for a rollover to indicate that the distribution was non-taxable. In 2004, John became disenchanted with Mutual Fund B, so he cashed out the account, which by this time had grown from the $64,000 that was transferred in 2003 to $70,000. He got a check for $70,000, and within 60 days, he deposited that check into a new IRA in his own name at Brokerage Firm C. Brokerage Firm C recorded this as a rollover contribution to his IRA. In 2005, this new so-called rollover IRA had grown to be worth $75,000, and John finally got sick of the whole thing and he cashed it out entirely. He reported only $5,000 of the $75,000 distribution as taxable income in 2005. He believed the rest was non-taxable because it had come into the account as a rollover contribution. He believed that only the earnings that occurred after the rollover would be taxable. And furthermore, said John, the entire account had already been reported to the IRS on his mother's estate tax return, so it shouldn't be taxable again. How many mistakes did you find in John's story? Let's start with his meeting with the Bank A employee in 2003, the year his mother died. The bank employee told John that because John was a non-spouse beneficiary, the account would have to be cashed out within 5 years. That single sentence contains 2 mistakes. First, as an individual designated beneficiary of the IRA, John is entitled under the tax law to take the benefits in the form of a life expectancy payout. He can withdraw the benefits more quickly if he wants to, but the slowest form of distribution he can choose is annual installments over his life expectancy. At age 54, that would be a more than 30-year payout period, not a 5-year payout. Second, John's mother was 79 years old when she died. In other words, she was older than age 70 and a half and well past her required beginning date for the IRA. The 5-year rule cited by the bank never applies to a participant who dies after their required beginning date. So even if John's mother had not named him individually as her designated beneficiary, for example, even if she had left her IRA to her estate and John inherited it through the estate, the 5-year rule wouldn't apply because she was past her required beginning date. It's obvious that Bank A needs to provide better training for its employees who are advising beneficiaries. Let's go to mistake number 3. Bank A sent $64,000 from the Bank A inherited IRA by direct plan-to-plan transfer to an inherited IRA at Mutual Fund B. So far, so good. The direct transfer of funds from one inherited IRA directly to another inherited IRA in the name of the same participant and beneficiary is a good move. Perfectly proper. It's done every day. But it's also a non-taxable event. That subject we discussed in the December 2008 Morningstar podcast. So since this was a non-taxable event, why did Bank A send 20% of the total distribution, or $16,000, to the IRS as withheld income taxes? There is no income tax on a plan-to-plan transfer. By sending this money to the IRS, the IRA provider created a $16,000 taxable distribution out of what should have been a totally tax-free transfer. That was mistake number four, because IRA distributions are never subject to the mandatory 20% federal income tax withholding. That applies only to certain distributions from qualified retirement plans. It should never have been applied to an IRA distribution. Mistake number five was that John did not report the $16,000 that was sent from the account to the IRS. He did not report that as income on his 2003 income tax return, and he should have. That's money that came out of the account and it was taxable to him. But he treated the entire account as a tax-free rollover. Well, that's all for the 2003 mistakes. Let's move on to 2004. In 2004, John cashed out the new inherited IRA account he'd established at Mutual Fund B, which was now worth $70,000. And he says that within 60 days, he took that check and he rolled the entire distribution over to an IRA in his own name at brokerage firm C. That's mistake number six. Repeat after me. A non-spouse beneficiary cannot roll funds from an inherited retirement plan into an IRA in his or her own name. So John thought he was doing a tax-free rollover, but what actually happened in 2004 was a taxable distribution of $70,000 from the inherited IRA at Mutual Fund B, followed by an excess contribution of $70,000 to his own IRA at brokerage firm C. John owes income tax on the $70,000 distribution for 2004, and he will also owe a 6% cumulative annual penalty for 2004 and subsequent years for the excess IRA contribution until it is corrected. Well, John finally cashed out this ill-fated IRA in 2005, by which time it had grown to $75,000. But he thinks he should not have to pay income tax on the funds distributed to him from this account for two reasons. His two reasons are mistakes number seven and number eight. First, he thinks there is no income tax when a rollover contribution is distributed out of an IRA. That's just plain wrong. The point of a rollover contribution is that taxes are deferred because the money is being rolled into a new plan. The operative word is deferred, not eliminated. When the tax-deferred money is later ultimately distributed, it becomes taxable, regardless of whether it comes out of a rollover contribution, a regular contribution, or plan earnings. The final mistake is number eight. John thinks he should not have to pay income tax on any IRA money distributed to him, either in 2004 or 2005, because this account was already reported on his mother's estate tax return. Well, that's also wrong. An estate tax return has nothing to do with income taxes. IRA distributions are subject to income tax after the owner's death, regardless of whether the account was or was not reported on the owner's federal estate tax return. The beneficiary may be entitled to an income tax deduction if estate taxes were paid. See my May 2009 MorningstarAdvisor.com column for that subject. In summary, John and the various IRA providers made numerous mistakes, and John is going to owe some income taxes and penalties to the IRS for this account for several different years. I wish I could end this by saying, if only John had read my book and attended my seminars, he wouldn't have made all these mistakes. But John enthusiastically ended our call by telling me that he had attended several of my seminars and he loves my book and articles. John, I wish you hadn't told me that. For MorningstarAdvisor.com, this is Natalie Choate.